The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with Timeless. And we got the follow-up, and all I can say is my ship's gonna happen. I'm so happy.
The moment she saw it coming together, she was very, very happy.
I love this episode because I got what I wanted. Yes!
Now explain to the people exactly what you got.
Okay, so everybody, like, stands for Lucy and Wyatt, and that's great. They're adorable together, but I want Lucy and Flynn, because there's, like, six times the sexual tension going on there between those two, and I feel like they're far better matched than Lucy and Wyatt. Because, yeah, there's Lucy and Wyatt. It's sweet. It's nice. But Garcia brings something out in her. Or I should say, they bring something out in each other. And I feel like, in some ways, they bring the best out in each other. Whereas Wyatt, he brings the best out of Lucy. But I don't know if it's the same for him. Maybe. Who knows? But, yeah. Anyway, Garcia and Lucy. It was a thing. Flucy. It happened. It was a thing. I'm very excited. So, anyway.
Flucy?
Flucy.
Is that a fan thing, or is this just you coming up with something?
It's me coming up with something.
Okay. We're gonna start.
It's a ship name. I don't know. I'm not good at this. So if you have a better ship name, let us know in the Instagram comments, or the Twitter comments, or the Facebook comments, wherever you see this, comments.
Because the other Rack Extra we do, there are a lot of awful ship names for that too, so.
Jaspinor?
No. There's like Robo.
Yeah.
And that was like an E-generated one, Robo. Was like, ooh, ooh.
No,
ooh.
No.
Okay.
No. Ooh,
no. So
Robo is a bad ship name.
Anyway, back to Timeless. By the way, check out the Rack Extra, the Royals, available now, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com.
We got to interview Max Brown. Listen to it.
It's all available at rackradioshow.com. All new.
So, we jump into this episode. This is the follow-up to The Sexy Time in the 1950s, and we had the really awkward cliffhanger at the end of last episode where, shock of shock, something has happened, and Wyatt's wife is alive. What?
So what? What? So what now? What happened?
His dead wife is somehow alive. So something happened in the past, either through Rittenhouse's interference or through the team's interference that brought her back to life. Well, in this episode, we got the answer to that.
But she was dead.
No, she's not.
But she was dead.
She was dead, and now she's alive.
But,
so she was mostly dead, not completely dead. There's a difference.
Okay.
So we come to find out that while the team was in the 40s or the 50s, like, I'm not sure when they jumped into the 40s, but basically, and that might be a precursor to another episode where they jumped to the 40s, but basically while the team was out doing something else, the lifeboat, or I'm sorry, the mothership jumped to San Diego in the 1980s, and they were only there for an hour, and then they went, I think, back to where they had been. So something happened where they went to the 1980s and they, I guess, figured out who the murderer was and stopped the murderer from being born. I don't know. But they altered the timeline without anybody really realizing it. And it was when Wyatt was in the past. So he still remembered that his wife was dead. But when he comes back, she's alive. And basically the last 6 years never happened. So he's got these memories of her being murdered and all this stuff, horrible stuff that happened. And he walks into a bar and she's alive. And it's like, What? So the follow-up on that is basically, it's not a happy marriage. It hasn't been a happy marriage for the last 6 years. He's a drunk. He's, you know, bitter. He's holding on to her. He's holding her down. She's tired of the long, lonely nights alone while he's on missions. He's tired, or she's tired of just his behavior. Basically, the Wyatt that she knows in this timeline is not a good guy. And so, you know, Wyatt's overjoyed to see her. She's kind of like, meh. So basically, we come together in a hotel with these two, and she serves him with divorce papers.
No.
And he's like, what? And this is where we basically find out he has been a jerk for the last 6 years. And he's like, what? Because he's like, what happened, you know? And she's like, well, remember we were with the marriage counselor and da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, no. Because that never happened, but okay, I'm going to play along with this.
She he really wanted just to hear to fill him in what the hell was going on. I was like, what?
Yeah, he was trying to get the details of what's been going on for the last 6 years and why she's just sort of lukewarm to him. And while he figures it out, and she tells him, and he's, you know, begs for a second chance, and she's like, I've given you chance after chance after chance, and you straighten up for about 3 weeks, and then it all goes to hell, and I'm tired of it, and I want a divorce. And so he's like, he kind of freaks out for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So anyway, so jumping back to the team, because the Wyatt storyline was running concurrently with the past storyline. Wyatt is missing. They have no idea where he is. Lucy's continuing to call him. He's not answering his phone. And the mothership jumps. So Lucy is finally able to get hold of Wyatt. He tells her what's going on. And we have the really awkward breakup between the two.
Yeah, that was her laying there and he's him on the phone. That was awkward.
It was really awkward because you could see it. He's like, I'm sorry, but my wife's alive kind of thing. And he had no idea. Like, he didn't know. And she's, you could just see it on her face. She's like, not going to compete with that. Not even going to try. She's like, it's your wife. You love her. I get it. You know, it's handled in a very adult manner, which I can appreciate, but I feel like it's all going to blow up later in somebody's face.
Oh, there's going to be backlash. There's always going to be fallout from something like that because she handled it well, but she wasn't handling it well.
No, she wasn't. She really, really wasn't. And basically what happens is she convinces Rufus and Agent Christopher to let her take Garcia Flynn to the past with them because basically they go to colonial America, in specific the Salem witch trials. And that's where this episode opened, was the original interpretation of what the Salem witch trials were, which is not at all a happy scene. I'm not really going to go into details, but people died. If you don't know what the Salem witch trials are, Google it.
So you see, there was some, anyway, just go.
So it jumps to colonial America, basically at the height of the Salem witch trials, which is what we saw in the opening scene. So that explains what that was. So they all go back to that day that we saw at the start of the episode. But one of the funny moments in this is that they don't let Garcia take a gun.
He was adamant about taking the gun.
Rufus wouldn't let him because he's like, I really don't want him with a gun because I don't trust him. And Christopher's like, I'm with you on that. No gun for you. And Garcia's just like, really? Really, guys? Which, by the way, I like Garcia Flynn so much more this season already. I love him so much this season. But before we get on the lifeboat and we chase Rittenhouse through time, Gio reveals to Rufus her visions and what's going on. And he originally laughs it off. And then she tells him about the one where he's in colonial times and he kills somebody. And he's like, yeah, yeah, no, that totally doesn't happen. And then the mothership jumps to colonial times. And he just kind of looks at her and she's like, I freaking told you! So yeah, so Rufus is like, okay, all right, I'm screwed. So we all jump on the lifeboat together. We all travel back to Salem, Massachusetts. And they do a nice job of recreating colonial Salem. We get to the woods, basically where they did the executions for the Salem witch trials. And they're looking at it. This woman comes up out of the shadows and they're talking about how, you know, basically people didn't come outdoors during the trials because they didn't want to get accused and they stayed away from the woods. And Rufus is like, the woods that we're standing in right now, those woods? And she's like, yeah, those woods. So they turn around and somebody's walking up with a hood and Lucy starts walking towards her. And Rufus is like, no, we do not walk forward towards the satanic entity. No, we don't do that.
We stay away from the witches. No, 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 no.
Because Lucy's whole point is like, you know, witches are real, right? Like, that's not a thing.
Right.
When all this happens. So basically she walks up and she stabs a piece of paper into the tree that they do the executions on. And basically it's condemning the trials and condemning the executions and saying that the judges need to be judged and that this whole thing is a charade and a farce and terrible, and it condemns it. And we come to find out that this lady's name is Abby, and she plays a huge factor in the story later.
Yeah, we'll give you what her last name is in a minute.
Yes. So we all go into town. Garcia has to find a gun.
Of course.
And that was kind of his whole thing this episode, is he's in a Puritan colony trying to find a gun.
I need a gun. I need something.
I need something. Like, I have nothing. I need something. So anyway, so we go to this bar or this tavern. They're sitting there discussing the plans. They're trying to figure out the sleeper agent. And lo and behold, in walks this dude with a scar on his face. And Rufus freaks out as he basically explains to them about Gia's visions and that the guy with the scar on the face is the one he's supposed to kill, or he's going to kill.
You mean her premonitions.
Premonitions. Yes, Rufus is going to delete the dude with the scar on his face. So they're like, yeah, yeah, okay, okay, sure. And Garcia's just looking at him like he's insane.
Yeah.
So in walks the head judge dude. I didn't catch his name. I know he has a historical name. I just don't feel like Googling it right now. And so he walks in. He brings in the condemned witches because basically that somebody had written to Boston asking for a stay of execution on this whole proceeding. Basically, you know, it's saying that the evidence needed to be reexamined. And he's like, for these 9 women, you know, or 9 condemned people, da 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 da. And Lucy's like, wait, there are only 8. Why are there 9? And he reads off the charges and basically they don't get the stay of execution. So everybody's going to die tonight. And then we find out Abby's the 9th and she's in the bar and they call her out and she's like, they're like, you know, I forget how you say her full name, but basically it's Abby Franklin, a.k.a. Benjamin Franklin's mom. Gets called out as a witch, gets condemned to be executed as a witch, which will screw up everything because it's, oh, hey, if Ben Franklin is never born, well, that's going to create some problems in the future.
Yeah.
He's the father of the whole being able to question your leaders, question the government, question everything, all of that in the Constitution. And if that doesn't go in, well, hey, nobody's going to put it in because nobody's going to think of it. So that could create awkwardness later on down the line. So now it becomes the mission to save Abby from being executed for this. So basically Lucy, Garcia, and Rufus corner the guy with the scar on his face, and they start questioning him because they think he's the sleeper agent based on Gia's vision. So they start questioning him, and they're like, he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, da 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 da, you know, leave me alone. And they're trying to figure out who accused Abby, and he's like, it's usually somebody really close that does it. And they're like, oh, her sister accused a bunch of people, it had to be her sister.
It just had to be,
right? You know, she was a mean person, so she had to accuse her own sister. So they leave the guy with, I think they said his name was Samuel Sewell.
Yes.
Judge Samuel Sewell. Let's get it right. So they leave Samuel with his daughter who had walked in on all of this, and he's basically begging them, please don't beat me up in front of my kid.
Please, please, no, please, no, please.
So they go off to find the Franklin house, and Rufus takes off when they get there because he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go check on Abby. I'm gonna go check, see if there's a way to break into the jail and get her out. And they're like, okay, cool. So they go see the Franklins, and
as you do,
like you do, and they offer them venison, and Garcia's like, oh, you're a hunter. And he's like, no, I'm a man of God now. And Garcia's like, damn it. Poor Garcia, he just can't find a gun in this episode. So basically he almost beats up the husband, and the wife, Mrs. Franklin, is basically like, yeah, didn't turn in my sister. I turned in everybody else. I did not turn in my sister. So they go back and they're like, okay, all right, you know, we can't figure this out. They can't break Abby out of prison because it's a really, really good, well-built prison. And they're sitting in the tavern and these guys with guns walk in and surround Lucy and Rufus and Garcia. And Garcia starts trying to take him out, and he actually gets away. And Lucy and Rufus end up getting arrested. And then who walks in but Lucy's mom?
Dum, dum, dum.
And this is where we're gonna pause, because back in the present, the other storyline that's going on is the Rittenhouse storyline, where basically great-great-grandpa tells Lucy's mom, you need to take out your daughter. She's a threat. She's a bad seed. She can't be recovered. Get rid of her.
She's causing too much of a ruckus.
We need her out of the way. So, you know, make sure that happens. So now we go back to the past, where Lucy's mom basically points the finger at her and goes, witch.
Dum, dum, dum.
Which makes Lucy now the 10th on the list to be executed for witchcraft. So Lucy's taken to the jail cell. She's thrown in with the other, condemned women, condemned women. And we have this really heartfelt moment where they're all like, we didn't do this. And what's worse is our names are being dragged through the mud. Like dying, they're fine with dying, but dying in disgrace, that's just not okay. Because we didn't do anything. We didn't, you know, we're innocent.
Right. And they have a really hard time about it. And then they told all their stories of how good of people they were, and how this is going to tarnish who they were. And they were telling how innocent they were, basically.
And it's kind of revealed that they marched their own drums. They were a little eccentric. They thought differently. They were their own people. They did not necessarily conform to the ideals of what Puritan society was. And so society came at them with this and was going to ensure that they got rid of the outliers. So society is preserved. And, you know, Lucy says that they're brave and they're not failures. They're not in disgrace. And she respects them tremendously for who they are and what they're going through and what's about to happen and, you know, how terrible all of this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this really warm, heartfelt moment.
Yeah.
Between all these women.
Right. And one of them was like, they're being accused, and it was like, this is a doll I had, was accused of sticking pins into like a voodoo doll or whatever. And it's like, no, this is just a doll I had since I grew up and stuff like that. It was touching.
Yeah. Another one, she liked to talk to the birds. Third was accused, I think, of signing the devil's book in the woods. And she's like, no, I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian woman. And the one that got accused of signing the devil's book was Mrs. Franklin's neighbor, who she accused. So.
Well, you know.
Awkward.
Awkward.
And then outside the jail cell, we see Rufus chained up with another guy, and the guy kind of scoots over to get away from Rufus, and he's like, you know, we're both the same, right? Like, we're both the same. And the guy's like, whatever. Poor Rufus. He has such a hard time. So at this point, Mama shows up, and she's all in panic, and she's like, she's trying to make a one last ditch effort to save Lucy, to recover Lucy for Rittenhouse, because she doesn't want to kill her own daughter.
Right.
She does love her daughter very much. That's clear. And she doesn't want to do it. So she regrets her decision, what she's done, and she hands Lucy a knife, and she's like, you still have a chance to get away. Meet me. I forget where she says to meet me, or basically, I'll find you, and come back with me, and...
Meet me at the mothership, she basically said.
Yeah, meet me at the mothership, because Lucy knows where the mothership is.
I guess, you know, mm-hmm. if she said yes, she would have told her, I guess.
Yeah, and then we'll go back together, and we'll basically be a family again, and Lucy's like... I'd rather be hanged. She's like, I'm just so done with you and all this crap. She's like, I'm no. And so she leaves, and it's now time for us to go to the height of the episode. And before we go there, we go back to Wyatt and his wife.
Because stuff went down there.
Stuff went down there. It's trying to condense it all instead of going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth like this episode did, which is fine, but it's like, it's just easier to kind of weave it a little bit. So basically Wyatt brings his wife to the bunker.
Which is something he shouldn't be doing.
Which it's like, dude, red flag! Red flag! But because, you know, he's emotionally compromised. This is his wife. This is the woman he loves. He knows she's not a threat, or is she? He's gonna trust her automatically without fail, which is hugely dangerous for them, because it's like, Rittenhouse stopped her dying, but you don't know where else Rittenhouse has interfered with her, and if they haven't contacted her in the present. That's the thing. So, anyway, he brings her to this bunker. Christopher's like, the hell? What are you doing?
It's like, what the hell's going on?
And they start to argue with each other. And meanwhile, she's wandering around a little bit. And Wyatt's like, look, she died 6 years ago. And then Jessica's like, wait, what?
She also, yeah, she died 6 years ago. We're not to that point yet. Keep going.
I'm just going to condense it all. No, but Jessica overhears that.
Right, yeah.
And the two, and she's like, what? And she starts to run off, and Wyatt chases after her. And as Wyatt is chasing after her, Connor walks in, and Jax is like, OMG, you know Connor Mason?
Yeah, that was the moment I was talking about. I was like, oh, wait, I was going to bring up that part. I was like, no, wait, we're not there yet. You're good.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Now we are.
And he's like, yeah, I worked for Connor Mason. So this is pretty much the point where it's implied they tell her everything about the time machine, about what's been going on. And so they take her back. And so all that's going on while we go back again to the past. We're at the site of execution. They're walking Abby up to the platform. They're reading off the charges. They're basically condemning her. They're saying she's an awful person. Da 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 da. Garcia is still missing. And while this is all going on, Garcia has gone back to the Franklin home. He has beaten up the husband and wife, and he has finally gotten what he's been looking for this entire episode.
So he goes back and is like, you have a gun. I know you have a gun. And he's like, no. And then the wife comes in with the gun and is like, I knew it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. So he beats them both up, basically, and gets the gun. Or he throws the husband at the wife and takes her down and gets the gun.
And he has this big smile on his face.
He's so happy. He's just so happy.
He finally got his weapon.
He finally got it.
Got my weapon of mass destruction. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
So we go back to the site of execution. They're walking Abby up to the platform. They get the noose around her neck. They're reading off the charges. Everybody's screaming, kill her now, you know, all this stuff. And all of a sudden we see Garcia, and boom, the first gunshot rings out, stopping them from executing Abby, and chaos ensues.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Garcia starts taking people out left and right. Lucy uses the knife that her mom gave her to get free. She frees Rufus, and they start to free the other victims and start telling them, run. Just run. Don't stop. Keep going.
Run.
Run. So Rufus gets hold of gun. Lucy runs up. They save Abby and they tell her, it's like, look, go to New Hampshire, stay up there for a while, and then go to Boston. And she's like, well, what about you? What are you going to do? And Lucy's like, I'll be fine. I'm going to totally be fine.
I got this.
So in the meanwhile, the main judge dude walks up. He tries to attack both women. Lucy gets stabbed in the arm and then he gets shot by Flinton. So they all take off running. And then the moment of truth happens where Rufus and Sewell come face to face. Guns are drawn and Rufus is like, look, man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to kill you. Just walk away.
He's basically pleading, crying, telling the guy, don't do this. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do this. Just go away. And the guy's refusing.
Yeah, and Rufus finally goes, go home to your daughter.
And that's when the guy leaves.
Tries to leave.
Well, yeah, tries to leave. Because then, out of nowhere,
he gets hit by a wagon with horses.
And he went splat.
And he's dead. And Rufus is like, no, 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 that's not how this was supposed to happen. And then he's like, oh God, you know, what have we done? Yada, yada, yada.
I didn't shoot you. You're not supposed to die.
But Gia's vision was incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
So most of it was true. So it seems like Rufus maybe altered it a little bit by opting not to shoot the guy, but the guy was still obviously meant to die in this timeline.
Right.
This version of events. So that's unfortunate. But we kind of go back to Lucy and Rufus is like, we're going to save them all. And she's like, yeah, we're going to save them all. She's like, I'm done with this stuff. I'm tired of it. We're saving innocent people. I don't care what it does to time. And Rufus is like, yeah! All right, I like this Lucy. This is awesome.
This Lucy has balls. All right.
We're gonna do this. So basically, the heroes prevail. Abby is safe. The women are safe. And Garcia's like, you know, well, you altered time today. And Lucy's like, yeah, I don't really care. And I think he kind of admires her for it a little bit.
Yeah.
They kind of have a little moment together in the lifeboat as they're coming back. So back to the present. Connor's standing there. It's Connor, Gia, Wyatt, and Jessica. Jessica's got a drink in her hand. And she's like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah. You invented a time machine. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. And they're like, yeah, we did. And Connor's like, she takes a drink and Connor's like, you're going to want to finish that. And she's like, uh-huh, sure, yeah. And then, boop, there's the lifeboat and the drink goes splat all over the floor.
Yeah, it did.
And she's just like, holy crap. And so we see Lucy and Garcia and Rufus get off and they're all worse for the wear. And we see Wyatt and Lucy come face to face. And then Lucy sees Jessica and she's like, I'm out. I'm going to go take care of my stab wound now.
And this is where Flynn came and took her away.
Yeah, takes her away to help her with her stab wound.
Where the shipping continues.
Shipping! Ship, 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 ship. So we cut over to the Rittenhouse side of things. And basically, the mom is trying to like, well, you know, Garcia Flynn totally got in the way and I wasn't able to kill her and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, no, we're taking you off this assignment and we're putting the redhead chick on it. And then the grandpa's like, I'm going to take care of it personally, which is like, oh, that is so not good.
No, that's not good for our hero, Lucy.
Which, and he's like, I don't blame you because you're her mother.
Right.
But I blame you. I'm totally judging you right now because you're weak. Mm-hmm. But get it.
Right.
And then she's like, you know, think about it. Think about the future. Think about our family. You know, she's basically our only descendant that's alive right now. And he kind of looks at her and she's like, and he's like, yeah, don't worry about that. I got that covered. Okay, he's going to have more kids with somebody. I'm sure that will come soon or we'll find that out soon enough.
Possibly.
So now we go to Wyatt and Jessica, where the full explanation comes out. And this is where Wyatt tells her, you have been dead for the last 6 years. We find out what happened where basically they had a huge fight in the car. She got out of the car and he left her. He went home and she never came back. He got called out to where she was. He had to identify the body. He watched them load it in the coroner's van. He grieved at the funeral, like all this stuff. Like he thought she was dead because she was. And then something happened where she came back to life.
And she's been living some alternate reality for 6 years.
And she's been living an alternate timeline for the last 6 years. And she's like, no, that's impossible. There's no way. And then he's like, time machine.
That dastardly time machine.
It
happens. It exists. It's a thing.
So basically they agree to give it another chance because he's like, that guy that you have known for 6 years, that person is not me. I don't know who that person is. I don't know where he went to, but that person is not me. And so they agree to give it another go, which is hugely dangerous because now she's probably going to stay in the bunker with them. You don't know if she's a Rittenhouse spy or not. You don't know what's going on there. And it's like,
I get the feeling she is.
I get the feeling she is, but I'm also kind of wondering if Lucy's a double agent.
Mm. I don't think she's a double agent, but I think Jessica will be the spy. I just have that hunch.
Maybe.
I don't know, just something in me like, that sounds like something would happen.
There's got to be a Rittenhouse person in there somewhere. We just don't know who it is. But all I know is I cannot wait for next week.
Hold on, but there's one other thing we need to mention.
What?
Was it Gia? And what's Gia. The other, and what's the other, the black guy's name?
Connor.
Okay. It's going to take me some time. So when they get back, he didn't want her to tell about her visions anymore. Because, what was it? Because it affected, they weren't supposed to go after him, but her visions made them do it.
Oh yeah, it was G and Rufus.
Rufus, that's what it was. Rufus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they sit down and he basically explains to her that her vision came true, and he sort of like pseudo blames her for it because they took that as, oh, that's the sleeper agent. Which, by the way, there was no sleeper agent in this episode, which I was kind of okay with. That Rittenhouse just basically went back and caused a muck on their own. Like, they were just like, yeah, okay, screw it. We're just gonna send somebody back and have them go, which? So that's what they did, but
right.
Yeah.
And right, and it was the mother trying to convince her daughter to come back with them, and that's why this whole thing was set up.
Yeah, and so it's Rufus and Gia are basically having the talk, and Rufus is like, look, you know, I don't want you to talk about it anymore, because it's your fault we went after Sewell, and it's your fault he's dead, because I was with Sewell, and he died, even though it's not really Gia's fault. But they took it as that, she gets upset, and she kind of storms off.
Right, yeah, that was another significant moment, because that's going to play in future episode.
Yes. But all in all, this was a very, very good episode.
Best episode I've seen.
So far.
So far.
So, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Make sure you follow us on the socials, Rack Radio Show. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and check out the all-new RackRadioShow.com.
All right. So, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and you've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be back next week with episode 5 of Timeless. Till then, bye!